It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Insight without Jack Stogler. He's on vacation again. That's he's about every other week. So it's always a guessing game if he's going to be here or not. But tonight we're talking to some school board members. We're going to talk about stuff at the school. If you guys want to introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourselves. We'll just start over here with Don.
Thanks, Dale. My name is Don Wendell. I'm in my third year on the board, and I'm currently the board president this year.
All right.
And I'm Sean Kolick. This is my first year on the board. I've been to two meetings so far, so take it easy on me tonight, Neil.
And I'm Nick Werkamp. I'm starting my fifth year on the board, and I was the president the last 2 years.
Yep. Okay, so that's our guests tonight. We'll be talking about school board stuff, school stuff, and we'll kind of cover a multitude of different subjects, I guess. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get into the details of all of this. Be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesday, you can get special prices on our famous wings and draft beers. Wednesday night, get $3 off of any of our large pizzas. And Thursday, you can get our tenderloin basket. On Friday and Saturday evenings, we offer a sirloin steak or all-you-can-eat chicken that both include our salad bar and your choice of potato and a dinner roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern for some great home cooking.
All of this cold weather has led to a lot of daydreaming while being stuck inside. With positions open in all of our Cooper Farms locations, we would love to work with you to help create the career you've been dreaming of all winter without sacrificing pay or benefits. Go to our website, cooperfarmsjobs.com, to learn more about how you can start a career at a company that is more than just a workplace. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having a pork chop dinner on Tuesday, March 15th. It's carryout only from 4 to 6, and they'll be available for pickup at the elementary preschool entrance. These 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinners will be prepared by Two Willies Barbecue using the international award-winning Iowa State Fair recipe, and the dinner includes a smoked pork chop, baked potato with butter and sour cream, applesauce, and a roll. The tickets are only $8 and must be purchased by Thursday, March 3rd from any high school SADD member, and they are also available at the high school and middle school offices. The Academic Boosters are the group that recognizes students during our home basketball games. Get your Academic Booster dinner tickets before March 3rd for the 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinner at the school offices or from any SAD member. Then just head out to the elementary school and drive by the preschool entrance and pick up your dinners on Tuesday, March 15th between 4 and 6. And get a couple of extra tickets and get some dinners to put in your refrigerator for a quick meal later on. Just be sure to get your smoked pork chop dinner tickets before March 3rd. We're back. Insight. And we're talking with school board members. We have Don Wendell here. We have Sean Kolick here. And Nick Werkamp here. Who are the other members on our school board? And maybe go through some of the administration, if you want.
Yeah, with along with the three of us is also Ann Guggenbiller, who's in her third year. She's our vice president this year, in addition to Jake Kanapke, who's also in his third year. So three of us come on board at the same time. Our admin team, we've got Larry Brown is our superintendent, doing a fine job. Deanna Kanapke is our treasurer. And then we've got Tony Stahl as our high school principal. Ryan Steinbrenner as our middle school principal. And then Kelly Toby as our elementary principal.
Kind of like an all-star team, isn't it?
They're doing a really good job right now. I think we've got a real good team going here.
Yep. I like it a lot. They're all easygoing, nice. It's easy to talk to them. They're at events. They don't try to hide from anybody. Everybody gets to see them, ask them questions, or nothing more than just say hi and smile. That's always a good thing, at least in town our size. But so, I guess money. Somebody tell us about money. Good, bad, indifferent, long-term, short-term.
Yeah, I think financially our school's in pretty good shape. We've got some continuing levies that were passed several years ago. So we don't anticipate having to go ask for more money anytime soon. We're in... we get a lot of money from the state. We get money from our school income tax, as well as a little bit from the casinos. Probably not as much as what everybody thought we were going to get when that passed.
What does that amount to? $10,000, $20,000, $80,000, a couple of $100,000, or what does that do you know offhand?
I think it was about $40,000 to $50,000.
That's what was kind of sticking in my head, was 30 to 50, something like that. But I couldn't remember, and who knows, that might have been 2 or 3 years ago. And you know, everybody thinks that all of the gambling money is going to be the lifeline for the schools, and it's not that much money.
Yeah, we did get a bus grant this year. That was from the Ohio Department of Education. It was $45,000. That amounted to about a third of what the cost of a new bus is.
Mm-hmm.
We bought one last year, and the price went up quite a bit for this year when we priced another one. So we try to buy a bus every other year, and then we try to trade in the oldest one. So we've got about 12 buses in our fleet. So mm-hmm. the oldest bus is generally about 20 years old, and then that's the one that we try to get rid of and replace it. That way we're not replacing 10 buses in 1 year.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if you could kind of hang on to them for 10 years at a time and change them all in 10 years, I guess, or whatever, but that isn't how that works. So, and this is probably a question you have no idea, but when we get a new bus, do we trade in the old bus? Do we get decent money for it? Is it junk money, or do you know?
We generally trade them in. We get a little bit more than scrap value for it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those buses have over 100,000 miles, and they're, like I said, 20, 25 years old, so they're not real valuable at that point.
Yep, I just wondering, because you see people using them for this and that, but I can't imagine they're worth a ton of money when they're that age.
It's pretty surprising how low the trade-in value is on those. I was astonished when I heard what we get from one of the.
But you're sitting, I had heard one time what we got years ago. I thought it have to be worth more than that. And whoever it was that I was talking to, probably a superintendent at the time, said, "Well, why don't you buy one? Do whatever you think somebody should do with one. What are you going to do with it?" So, well, come to think of it, I don't need one that bad, so neither did anybody else. So, so buses, sounds like we're in decent shape on that. Are we able to trade in a little sooner with those types of things?
Yeah, there was a time, and it was probably about 20 years ago, that I think the district bought 3 buses in 1 year. So we're now in the point where we're needing to replace those. So mm-hmm. that's why we're doing back-to-back years.
Yep.
And with the ODE grant, that covered a little bit of the hurt as much.
Yeah.
We didn't have to pay for the whole thing.
Yeah. So let's say the oldest buses, are they, as far as you know, in pretty decent shape still, or are they kind of falling apart and we really have to get rid of them? Or?
Yeah, I think they're in pretty good shape. I think we have 3 spares. So we've got, I believe, 10 routes, I think, is what we heard last meeting. So if we've got 12 or 13 buses, we've got a couple that are in case one breaks down, or if there's an after-school event that needs a bus before the routes are done,
we
can take one of the spares.
Yeah, so. And we've sat and waited for some some, especially baseball and softball, because some schools just didn't have an extra bus. Most of the time, it's a parochial school that's borrowing something from the city they're in, like Sydney or Lima or something, but, or Delphus. But so, other financial stuff overall. I know there's some sort of thing with they try to have a, like a reserve fund or something. I'm not sure what that's called, or if that's even a, if I can even explain to, if you can tell me what I'm trying to talk about there.
Yeah, most of the money goes through the general fund. Mm-hmm. We do put money every year into our permanent improvements fund, mm-hmm. which is where we're kind of preparing for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, the new school is now in its 21st year, I believe. So there's some things that are starting to.
And it definitely looks newer than that.
It does.
They do such a good job of keeping that thing clean.
But we just ran into the chiller for the air conditioner.
Oh yeah,
went out. That has about a 20-year life. And when we first heard that, you know, it's time to replace the chiller, everybody's thought was in the new school. And it's, well, it is 20 years old, so.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it. It's just a still a great facility. And so other funding, do we have, are we solvent, extra solvent, no solvent, in bad shape, or where are we on that type of thing?
Yeah, the state kind of came out with a couple different new funding models in the last couple of years. So there's a little bit of uncertainty what's going to happen over the next couple of years. But I feel like we're doing well. Generally, at the end of the year, we're positive a little bit. You know, the goal of the school is not really to make money. It's to put all the money that we get back into the students and help their education. So usually at the end of the year, we're plus $50,000 to $100,000 to the positive, and that's probably kind of that sweet spot that we want to stay in.
And still able to do all or most of the things we, number one, need to do, and a lot of the things we'd like to do.
Yep.
Good. So sounds like we're on, and probably for the last several years have been really in pretty decent shape financially.
Yeah, yep. And that started probably 6 or 7 years ago, and it's continued.
Yeah, I know one of the things that Lori Cook was just adamant about is we have to be here. We have to have this much money left, or we could be in trouble if something happens. And, you know, we don't have the money. What are we going to do? And she didn't want that to happen, and I think she passed that on to Deanna. And I think in my head that's a really good way to do it, is just don't ever spend yourself down to nothing, because you can get in trouble that way. So as far as future money-wise, looking good, again, depending on how the state decides to fund.
I think currently we look really good. I know in the, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, I think in like the 3 to 5 year forecast, we do show a little bit of deficit spending. However, it's pretty tough to forecast that at times. You know, one positive thing we got going for us, we just renewed our teacher contract this year. Had a real good relationship with the teachers union. Everything went real smooth, and I felt like we got a fair deal for not only the teachers but also for the community.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a tough line to straddle there, I guess, is to make sure your teachers, the ones that are there on the front lines with our kids, that they get paid enough. Number one, that they want to stay here. Number two, that they feel like they're being treated fairly, but not break the school's budget. You know, cut out this, and this to pay the teachers. That's a tough line to try to, you know, get in the right spot there. And I think if everybody's on the same page, you know, the teachers would love to make a lot more money. And if we had it, we'd probably give it to them. We don't, and they know we don't, so they're willing to do what they need to do to make sure that the school gets to keep going like it is. So I think everybody understands that our school board is definitely trying and almost always accomplishing making using our money well. That just seems, that's the vibe I get. Do you guys hear anything different from that? Or
yeah,
I'm sure every once in a while somebody's complaining about something, but does that seem like how you guys are hearing it too? That
yeah,
most definitely.
Good.
Yeah, a lot of times when we talk about the 3 or 5 year forecast, it's easier to project expenses than it is to project the income, mm-hmm. because the income's kind of dependent on the state and other factors. So property taxes, all, you know,
yeah.
income, all of that. So it's but we know what our generally what our expenses are going to be, and we know certain things are going to increase every year. And now that we've locked in our teacher contract, we know what to expect there. So
So as far as teachers, are we at about the same number we've always had? Are we going up a little bit, down a little bit? It all depends on, like, is there a certain grade that has more students, so they need an extra teacher all the way through? Or is that fairly steady as far as numbers of teachers and other personnel, I guess?
I think our total number of teachers is remained fairly level over the last few years. I know this year's kindergarten class was extraordinarily large. I believe they're at about 100.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, and I
think they just graduated 70, something like that, last spring.
And, you know, I've got 3 nephews in that class. That's going to be a handful, by the way.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But, yeah, so that's
going to be one of my favorite classes ever, I'm sure.
That's a rather large class there. I think they're projecting back down in the 70s for this this up-and-coming class. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some teachers having to shuffle throughout that kindergarten class. But throughout the school, our numbers are relatively stable, mm-hmm. teacher-wise.
Yep, good, good. So as far as, let's just call it high school classes, are we adding any new things, dropping some, like languages or certain classes that aren't very well attended? I know that's happened at TriStar where they've switched stuff around, but that's a different situation. Is that anything that really happens in high school, or?
We have a lot of students that are attending TriStar, and it's a lot of the things that we can't teach at 4 Recovery, mm-hmm. you know, the welding and the kind of those
right
in demand jobs that are you know, needed right now in this community and other communities.
Yeah, not like we don't have people that could teach it, but we don't have the equipment to do it, and maybe not the space. But if we had space and teachers, how are we going to get all that much welding equipment? So it's just that TriStar is a really, really good thing for this area. That's one of the greatest things that's happened. So other things school-wise, anything that's in the process of changing, has changed, that we've dropped, or anything you can think of that is either big or even medium changes that people would care about, or is everything kind of going like it has?
Well, I would say the most exciting things probably are athletic facilities right now. With the improvements to the softball diamond, as well as the addition of the baseball field there next to the elementary school. Pretty awesome project we've got going on. In addition to that, we've also got some major improvements going on at the Student Athletic Center. Had some very generous donors mm-hmm. contribute to that. We've added some really nice weight equipment there, and it's looking really good.
Yep. So I have a promo about that coming up in this next commercial break in a couple minutes, but do you want to talk a little bit about what that, what those improvements are, and who, if you're allowed to say, who helped?
Sure, I'll jump in here, Neil. The biggest thing at the, I guess, at the SAC, the Student Activity Center, is we recently got, I think in total was, what, about $90,000 in donations? And
wow.
Most of that is going towards, or it's either the weight racks themselves or some of the free weights and medicine balls, plyometric boxes that are over on, you'll see them sitting along the wall for the students to use throughout the day, and then the community to come in the off hours too. And I've seen a lot of different facilities, and the equipment that we have in there now is nicer than, you know, I can say I've really seen anywhere. It's top of the line. It's really something that's going to be a real asset for our community and our students to be able to use. It's really neat.
So did we replace worn out things or get new things or combination of all of that?
Yeah, the original equipment I think we got probably when I was, in a freshman, which has been 20 years or so ago. And
you're 25.
Yeah, I wish. I used to be. So we had some when Coach Fennick was here. I think he was the one that got the equipment originally or helped facilitate it. And the original weight platforms and all the weights, they were replaced by completely new equipment. The neat thing with the newer equipment is just there's so many different exercises that can be done on them compared to what our old equipment provided. They have just a plethora of different attachments that can go on there, and you can really exercise a lot of muscle groups. There's cable machines that we didn't have before that allows you to do a lot of new workouts in a safer manner than we were able to do before, if we were able to do them at all. So mm-hmm. That was the bulk of it. And then there's also going to be on the east end when you're in the sack, there's going to be a full court basketball court where we can hold practices if our gyms are full. And it won't quite be regulation length, but it's mm-hmm. something similar maybe to like what our old gym was in high school before mm-hmm. the sack went in there. So that'll be nice, especially for some of the youth teams to be able to get in and get a spot and be able to hold their practices, because those things tend to fill up in the wintertime, and, yep. and that'll be an extra location for everybody to utilize.
That's great. So are we at liberty to say who some of the donors were to make that happen? I know there was some anonymous.
Yeah, it all went through the athletic boosters.
Okay.
So the donation that the school got actually came from the athletic boosters.
Okay.
But I think the dedication this Saturday will probably have, I'm not sure if they're going to be there or not, but I know some of us will be. So.
Okay. So and that's from 2 to 3 on Saturday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, will that be a presentation or just people can come and go as they want and just look around, or do you know that for sure?
I think it's going to be kind of a presentation at the beginning, and mm-hmm. then I think there's going to be some students there kind of demoing some of the equipment.
Oh, ooh, that's great.
Showing how it works, and Sean's going to give a 10-minute presentation.
It might be closer to 10 seconds, but you know, one thing I'll say is when you look at these machines, they are a little bit intimidating, especially mm-hmm. if you're in there the first time. So it'll be nice if you're somebody who's wants to get up there and utilize the equipment, but maybe haven't done so yet. I'd encourage people to turn out, because I think it'll be good. It sort of takes the intimidation factor away from it, hopefully, if you can see how to use the equipment properly and, you know, what exercises you can all do.
Mm-hmm.
Without seeing it, you kind of feel a little foolish standing around scratching your head trying to figure out what you're doing. But it is really nice, and we want to make sure everybody uses it properly so it lasts a long time, too. So
yeah, that's really good. So on the as far as the equipment then, at the Student Activity Center, is that something that anybody in the community can use, and how would they be able to access that? Do you know the details on that?
Sure. So yeah, it's available for community members. It's limited access. So in order to gain access to it, you just come by, stop by the office, and sign a liability waiver. And I think it's $20, something like that, for a year's access. And then they renew that each year. And that's just to, you know, make sure that we keep track of who goes in and who goes out, and mm-hmm. Keep it the nice facility that it is.
Right. So if something's messed up, you know who was in and out. It's one of those pass key type of things.
Sure.
So you know who's going in, and if people are actually using it and how many people are using it. Sometimes I guess it's good to know who, but it's probably nicer to know how many. And so that's a good thing. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk some more stuff and find out what else is going on with our schools. We'll be back right after this. And in the last one of this segment of the stuff is going to be the our promo for the weight room, so that might give you a little more information if you didn't catch all of what Sean was talking about there.
Klingchen & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchenandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchen & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
When it comes to fracturing compaction, there's no taming this tiger. In both wet and dry conditions, genuine Case IH Tiger Points create a root environment that reduces plant stress and maximizes the potential for higher yields. Available at Hall Brothers and Fort Recovery, genuine Case IH Tiger Points now have three times the wear life of our second generation and six times the wear life of the original. For more information, visit Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer in Fort Recovery today.
Miracle Lanes has two great specials for you every Friday during Lent. For only $9, you can get your choice of an order of popcorn shrimp or six pollock wings, and each will come with fries and slaw. Call ahead at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Popcorn shrimp dinner or six pollock wings dinner, each with fries and slaw for $9. And they'll have fish and shrimp on their Friday lunch buffet every Friday during Lent. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274. Miracle Lanes is sponsoring a fun event to benefit the high school bowling teams. It's a Scotch Doubles three-game tournament on Friday, March 11th, starting at 7 p.m. Scotch Doubles is a unique two-person tournament where one bowler throws the first ball and their partner picks up the spare. You switch the order when the first bowler throws a strike, and it's a progressive no-tap tournament with the first game regular bowling, the second game is 9-pin no-tap, and the third game is 8-pin no-tap. This Scotch Doubles tournament is just $25 per two-person team, or you can just rent a lane for up to six bowlers for $60. There will be a bowling ball raffle, door prizes, and prizes for top score, and each bowler receives a free drink ticket. Here's a chance to try something different and help the high school bowling teams raise some money. The Scotch Doubles Tournament, benefiting the boys and girls high school bowling teams on Friday night, March 11th. To reserve your spot, stop into Miracle Lanes or call or text 419-852-9962. The public is invited to come and see the new weight equipment in the Jerome and Maurice Greasep Athletic Training Center, better known as the SAC. The equipment was provided by the Athletic Booster Club and an anonymous donor. This event will be held on Saturday afternoon, March 5th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Our school wants us all to see the great things that are happening at our school and how it can benefit our schools and our community. Mark your calendars now for Saturday, March 5th, between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, and stop by and see the new equipment at our Student Activity Center.
Welcome back. Insight. We're talking with the Board of Education folks. We have Sean Collig, we have Nick Werkamp, we have Don Wendell, and we were talking about the weight room, the Student Activity Center, the promo there that just finished was talking about that, but we didn't talk about the hours it's available to the students and to the public. So what are do you have that, Sean?
Sure, yeah. The so during the week, Monday through Friday in the mornings, you can get in between 4:30 and 7. And then in the evenings, Monday through Thursday, it's available from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., with the in-between hours being reserved for the school students. And then on the weekends, it's available to the public from 12 till 10 at night. So there's quite a range of hours in there for people to come in and utilize it. I'm up there sometimes in the morning, I would say. That's probably the most available that it is. It's, you know, in the early morning hours and the evenings, there's a few more people up there, but we hope to see even more up there. It really is something that's a real asset for our community to utilize.
Yeah, so everybody in the community is welcome to use it, and that's a really good thing. So talking about facilities, you know, we have some new things, some new equipment, some things like that. So like the new football press box, which was, by the way, extremely greatly appreciated. And do you want to talk about that? Is that your department, Nick?
Yeah. Like you said, the press box was new this year. It looks a little bit different than the old one. I think the stairs were redesigned. It's not a lot bigger than the other one on the outside, but it was much bigger on the inside.
Yes.
So, and then we also recently did a new sound system in the auditoria, and that was done through some community donations, I think one being from the radio station, so we certainly appreciate that. We've also done some safety upgrades recently. If you notice on the windows, all the doors now are numbered, so if there is an emergency at the school, we can communicate with our police department. And we can tell them what window, what door, and they know exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that money was coming from some state grants. The Bureau of Workers' Comp had some grants the other year that we were able to get some. We've upgraded our the cameras on the outside of the school. So we've gone, I think the old cameras were a little bit fuzzy. Now we've got very good cameras. So mm-hmm. if anything goes on, we can check the cameras.
Like that person that stole somebody's bicycle, yeah. Of all things.
Yeah.
But we still were able to find who it was, I believe. So.
Yeah. And I think we've also added some film to the windows and doors just to help protect the students just in case something would happen to happen. Mm-hmm. So.
Because there could be an explosion, and if it's kind of something that keeps things from like something blows up outside, gas main or something, there's less likely to shatter the glass. Is that what that's filmed mm-hmm. for?
Yeah.
So, yep. And so I guess that gets us to the monstrous project of our softball, baseball complex. Where are we on that? What all? I guess maybe explain to everybody what is going to, how it's going to end up, I guess, is probably the best. And if you want to, you can throw in there where it is now.
Yeah, so anybody that drives down Sharpsburg Road and looks out into the fields by the middle school, you can see all the work that's going on there. The softball field, I think they started on the softball field first. Mm-hmm. I think the grass is maybe planted and growing on the outfield.
Yes, they put that in last fall.
Yeah. And then
all reports show that's going really well.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully we're able to play on that this year because that's the only softball field we have.
Yeah.
So and then there'll be a complex in the middle with restrooms and an area for concession stands, a radio booth for you guys.
So. Yeah. You can see both the softball and the baseball, so both could be going on at the same time with announcing if it goes that way. So
yep. And all of that funding is coming from the athletic boosters. The WOW is a big part of that. Yep. So,
and we have a WOW promo coming up in the next set of stuff. Mr. Steinbrenner came and recorded it this morning. They're going to have a podcast interview with their two main musical acts for the WOW on St. Patrick's Day evening. I believe it's at 7. So that you'll get to hear the details on that from Mr. Steinbrenner at the end of our next set of commercials. But so go ahead with the rest of that. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the baseball field we may be able to play on it toward the end of the year. I don't know if we'll be able to start on it, mm-hmm. but
and weather's going to have a lot to do with that.
Yep, weather and how quickly the grass grows, and mm-hmm. But when it's all done, it's going to be really nice.
Yep, and so that's going to be just a a really, really great thing because, you know, the girls playing softball there, if you need to use the restroom, you have to go to the school. There's no concession stand. The few games that we've been able to get people to announce, we're kind of in the dugout, not ideal for anybody. So that helps with the guys up at the old baseball diamond. For years, we didn't have any restrooms. Now they have a porta potty, which is, you know, they keep it clean, but it's a porta potty. And Dave Kalp, 5-6 years ago, built a concession stand and press box himself, paid for that, set it down. He got donations from Davey Judy, did the electric, Fort Recovery Lumber Company, gave him a good deal on the lumber. Can't remember who all else was involved in that, but there were three or four different people that donated things or gave them good prices on things so they could at least have a concession stand there and a press box so Bob and Dave didn't have to sit out in the cold weather and sometimes the rain since we're trying to do every game. So those things are greatly appreciated, and it's going to be a really, really nice facility. It is going to be A1. It's just neat. And I think somewhere along the line, I don't know if Sean was involved with his brothers, but supposedly the colleague boys said, why don't we build some observation mounds? And so those are going to be out in various places around, and so people can set up lawn chairs or drive their golf cart up on there or whatever, and there's observation mounds where if you can stand at the fence, but you're 5, 10, 15 feet above, kind of watching it over top of everything. So that looks like it's going to be really neat, and I think that's going to be something that people are going to kind of go, why didn't we think of that?
I wouldn't give Brady too much credit. I don't know if he deserves it.
Well, somebody does. I don't know who came up with it. Well, I was trying to give you credit, Sean.
Well, I'll take it.
So we have that facility. We have the new press box at the football field. Nicer sound system in the auditoria. A lot of good things going on. Any other new things like that going on, or wanna?
Yeah, I think that's the majority of the projects that we've been working on the last couple of years.
Okay, well, let's take another quick break, and we'll come back and kind of hit some other points and maybe wrap stuff up. And we're going to end up with Rocker, of course. Whenever we get finished with our school board, we'll get to Rocker with his This Day in Pop Culture History. So be back in just a minute or two.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Wayne Street Market has your solution for Lent. Every Friday during Lent, they'll be serving their famous fish dinners for $8.99, which includes three pieces of freshly fried fish, your choice of two side dishes, and a roll. And you can also get their family fish dinner, which is a full pound of their freshly fried fish, your choice of 2 1-pound side dishes, and 4 rolls. Be sure to call ahead and place your order at 375-2865 so you can avoid the lines and to be sure they haven't run out of fish that day. Make Wayne Street Market your Lent headquarters every Friday during Lent.
The Win on the Wabash is excited to announce an exclusive St. Patrick's Day interview with each of our headlining entertainment acts for this year, Jake Worthington and Drew Parker. Drew and Jake join me, RJ, virtually starting at 7 p.m. on March 17th to talk about their careers, music, and excitement for this year's WOW. You can watch live on the WOW Super Raffle Facebook page or on our YouTube channel, WOW Raffle. You can also listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio. So come shamrock and roll with me, Jake Worthington, and Drew Parker on March 17th as we get pumped up for the 2022 Win on the Wabash.
So we're back here on Insight, and that Ryan Steinbrenner giving us the information on the St. Patrick's Day. Just happens to be St. Patrick's Day. That wasn't why they picked that day, but that's when the two headliners at the Win on the Wabash are going to be available, and he's going to interview them live on Facebook Live and on their YouTube channel. It'll also be audio on Fort Recovery Radio, but if you have access to anything, it's going to be just as good to watch it. And so they'll have that going on. And so that'll be on the March 17th on St. Patrick's Day. And the Win on the Wabash, we're talking tonight with the school board guys. The Win on the Wabash, that event has been huge. And they've made a pretty good amount of money, and they are, we're getting to see the benefits of that money with our, in and around our schools and in other parts of town too. But the schools have been a pretty good beneficiary of that, and sports programs, because it is the athletic boosters, sports programs more specifically. But, you know, can one of you kind of review the things that they've done? We just talked about that in the last segment, maybe, but just kind of go through those again of what the things that the Win on the Wabash has at least helped us with.
Yeah, Neil, I think it's just been an awesome thing for the school and the community. You know, not only are they funding the baseball diamond softball upgrades, they've also taken care of the press box. In addition to that, though, even during the actual outing, they involve all the sports groups. And each group gets paid for working, and that you know, that may keep your team from having to sell something or raise money throughout the season. Just an opportunity to not only earn money but to also give back to the community. So it's good for the children just to teach them, you know, that community spirit and how to give back. So not only are we funding the program, but we're teaching the kids as well. So.
Yeah, that's a really good lesson of you know, a lot of they're benefiting directly, and younger ones than them will benefit with other things too, but they're benefiting directly, but they're also helping to do that particular event, and it's just that is a lesson that's really our kids around here seem to really understand and really embrace and dive into those kind of things, because they know they can see that there's good things being done with them doing you know, kicking in a little bit, but if they don't do that, the event doesn't go as well. So just by them helping some, they're kind of changing the way our sports programs are with the money they've been able to donate to the student activity center with that, you know, that open house is 2 to 3 on this coming Saturday. That's a big deal. Those are great things that they've been able to do. So yeah, that's the WOW is going to be a really good thing. So again this year. So let's kind of review real quick. finances, good, bad, what are good things about it, bad things about it?
Yeah, I think that overall the financial shape of the school's in really good shape, and that's not something that we have a lot to do with, in all honesty. It's really the job of our current and past treasurer and superintendents, that they've done a really nice job of controlling spending. So we're set up for the future.
So as far as a school budget, how does that get determined? Who does it? Is there a formula they use that each year this is going to go up this much? Or how does that all get figured out? I know that's not exactly your thing, but I'm sure you at least have a handle on how that happens.
Yeah, so our treasurer, Mrs. Deanna Kanapke, kind of is the one that's in charge of the current year budget, as well as the 3 and 5 year forecast. So she's the one that kind of sets, you know, what are we going to spend, where are we going to spend it, and then one of the things that is kind of a little bit of a wild card is technology, because we always want to make sure that we're providing the best technology to our students. And we are currently at a 1-to-1 ratio. So if there is a need, every student at Fort Recovery could have some sort of an electronic device at the same time. So that was kind of a goal that was set a couple years ago, and I think we've achieved that the last couple years.
Yeah, that's really good, and probably a few extra when there's breaks down, they can get a loaner or something. Mm-hmm. So, yep, that's really, really good. So, that technology, is it all like iPad sort of thing, or?
A lot of Chromebooks.
Okay, yep.
I think each student, when they enter high school, they get a laptop, so that's their laptop for their 4 years while they're in school. And then, I don't know, Don, you probably know a little bit more about that with high schoolers.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so let's say something happens with that laptop. Do they get it to the IT guy at school, or do they kind of tell you, figure out how to get it fixed yourself, or what happens there?
No, they take it back to the IT group mm-hmm. there, and they'll take a look at it and okay. see what needs to happen.
Yep, and assuming there's new software that comes up, do they turn them in the summer and they reload them during the summer and get it back, or when do they keep it all summer and then they upgrade as they can?
No, they return those at the end of the school year and then pick them back up prior to the next year.
So that gives them all summer to do that. So, and they I know they have high school kids generally, and sometimes a little out of high school, do it for summer jobs, doing some of the IT stuff, which I never understood what they did. Now that makes sense. I couldn't figure out why they needed 2 or 15 or however many of those guys they have, and girls, lots of girls doing that. So we got the budget that is basically determined by the treasurer.
Mm-hmm. In conjunction with the superintendent.
Yeah, they figure out where they might need to add some or be able to cut back on this because we did extra last year or something. So, let's see, we've talked about the projects that WOW has helped with. The safety improvements that with Chief Laux and the Fort Recovery Police Department, besides the film on the windows, what else have they done with them? I think they've done some training too, haven't they?
They have, yeah. We've done some things that you never really think about, or you didn't think about 20, 30 years ago. It's more than just fire drills now. There's, you know, active shooter training, and there's a lot of other safety measures that are taken, and it's how quickly can we get all the students out of the school and into a safe place. Mm-hmm. And that's I think Chief Laux has really helped with getting all that.
Yeah he has seems to have had a lot of interest in doing that type of thing. And I know between schools and police departments around the area, they've done a lot of that type of thing, and some of that involves him, if there would be something, let's say, happen at Coldwater, fire, active shooter, whatever it might be, gas leak, all of these police officers know what to do, and they can all go and help. So in addition to helping us, if we have a problem, the other police departments could come. They all know what they're supposed to do, and they can go help the one that's having a problem that particular time. So even if we never have to use it, that's really good training in each one of those schools for their town police department, so they can be of help to somebody else. And that mutual aid with police doesn't get used as often as with fire, but it's very important. So enrollment, we kind of talked about that, talking about the this year's kindergarten class of what'd you say, 100,000? It's going to seem like that.
That's probably what their teachers think sometimes, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's I know a few of those, and that's going to be something. That is, we might need extra teachers for that one. There's going to be some real characters in that. I'm going to love that class all the way forever.
You know, Neil, one thing we haven't talked about really is COVID. I know we're all burned out of that, but, you know, I think it's really special how our school has handled the entire COVID crisis. From our administrators to our teachers to our custodial staff have just handled that top-notch, whether it be the extra cleaning or working through the mask issues. You know, I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are that our children only missed part of a school year. You know, there's other places in this country that lost a year and a half worth of in-person education. And, you know, we didn't have that. We lost a part of that one school year, and we were right back at it the fall. And I think our teachers and our staff just really did a phenomenal job to get our kids back in the class and make sure they didn't go backwards in their education.
Yeah, because that's and that's going to put our kids ahead of a whole bunch of the rest of the country for that year, not just academically, but mental health wise. The kids need to be in the schools. That's easier to learn. It's easier for them to interact with other people. You can lose a lot of social skills at certain ages if you're not around those other kids and teachers, and learn how to respect the authority of the teacher and that type of thing. You can just lose a lot of that stuff. And lots of places did, and we don't know what those consequences will be. We hope it's all very temporary, but you just don't know if it's going to be, you know, people living their lives completely different when they get older. It's just, it's tough. So anything else we want to throw out there before we get to Rocker? All right. Well, we definitely appreciate you guys coming in. Don Wendell, Sean Colleague, Nick Workamp. We appreciate you guys coming in, and you're welcome to hang around and argue with Rocker about all of his stuff that he's going to give to us in a little bit, and then we'll have a sports talk.
Thanks for having us on, Neil, and also thanks for everything you do for not only the school but the community.
Well, that's why we're here. That's the whole point of Fort Recovery Radio, is to promote the town, the businesses, the schools, and the kids. That's what we're here for. So we talked about the off the air about the archives. People appreciate. I appreciate that people appreciate what we're doing, because it's some work. But if it's helping the community, that's all we want to do. That's exactly why we're doing stuff. So I appreciate the kind words. So we'll take a quick break. Come back with Rocker, this day in music history.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
If you're like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cooper Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cooper Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cooper Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 begins an interesting business year. Has your business experienced change within your operation? Or maybe you've undergone the loss of internal critical personnel, a trusted banker, or advisor. Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action on how to navigate these challenges in your business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
Hi, my name is Ava Shane.
I'm Sophie Pearson.
And I'm Ella Shane.
And we are the Fort Recovery Girls Softball Team, and we're having our annual pulled pork fundraiser.
The tickets are just $8 each, and you can get one of Wendell's Barbecue's famous pulled pork sandwiches, mac and cheese, and chips.
The dinners will be available on Sunday afternoon, March 13th, and you can just drive by and pick them up at St. Joe's store from 4 to 6 p.m.
Contact any of us on the softball team for tickets, and we'll also be selling them at all the home boys and girls basketball games.
Don't miss out on the girls softball team's annual barbecue pulled pork dinners available on March 13th at St. Joe's store.
See any of us on the team to get your tickets.
Bye.
Bye.
Insight. And we just spoke with folks from the Board of Education. And now we're going to what everybody really listens for. Rocker.
God, I hope that's true.
Yeah, because we wouldn't want them listening for the real information that the school board gave us.
Oh, we want that, but we...
Oh. So it's all you, Rocker.
Okay, 1941, March 1st. Yeah.
I said this day in music history, but it's this day in
pop culture
history. Okay.
1941, Captain America, created by Joe Simon. Mentioned in the old comic books for the first time.
1941. Okay.
Marvel, by the way, in case you...
I wouldn't know the difference.
Well, those people out there, they're pretty...
Yeah, the Comic-Con people would shoot me if I didn't say the right
They'd
one.
They'd beat me like a redheaded stepchild.
Well, we were thinking about doing that anyway.
Well, March 2nd, 1904, Dr. Seuss was born.
What was his real name?
Theodore Geisel.
I was hoping you wouldn't know that.
I knew you'd pull that little trick.
I couldn't think of his real name. But
died in 1991, 87.
That's pretty good.
There you go. 1933, King Kong premieres.
Oh.
Good old favorite, eh?
Yep. That was a big movie.
Big for King Kong, too.
Yes, big King Kong. Yeah.
Didn't end so well for him, but...
No. Yeah. But sad, wasn't it? I cried during that movie.
That's a harder they... The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
I guess.
Crickets. Here's one you'll love.
I will. I bet I don't.
God, I hope you do. 1935, Porky Pig debuts in the Looney Tunes.
I like Porky Pig.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
There you go. That's the ticket. I didn't really want to do that because, one, I couldn't do it.
Well, why don't you try it so we can make fun of you?
No.
Oh, come on. I remember when you used to be fun.
Okay. Well, usually when I get fun... you have to do a lot of edit work.
Like a year and a half ago or a year before on the Christmas show. Yeah, that's.
We don't really want to do that during a Wednesday night.
No, probably not.
1965, the movie my dad always dreaded. Sound of Music premieres.
1965?
Yeah.
I thought it was sooner than that. I'll be darned.
Yeah, my every time it came on Easter, Dad says, I guess it's 3 hours in the old kitchen playing solitary.
Your dad didn't like the...
No, I did not.
Von Trapp family?
No. I kind of wish Bill was here so he could sing Edelweiss.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, that's, well, in a couple of, what, 2 more years he'll be retired, and then we can start doing the breakfast with Bill, or might even be
that'd
supper
be,
with
that'd
Bill.
That'd be part of his greatest hits album
yes.
when he puts it out finally.
Yeah. Yeah. That and Meli Kaliki Maka.
Yes.
Those are good.
Bert's already putting in their plans to move to Florida.
Bill won't even notice with the
no,
with,
no clue.
With breakfast with Bill and the campground, he won't even know Bert's not there.
Oh, celebrity birthday time.
Oh, goody.
Well, one not so celebrity, but...
Oh.
March 1st, my niece Janelle turns 43.
That'd be Wendell. A celebrity.
Yeah. Robert Clay, remember that name?
Robert Clay. I do not remember that name.
Clary, I should say.
Clary. Oh, Robert Clary.
Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that the French guy?
I don't know.
I think it was. I think
95. 96, actually.
So he's still alive?
Yes.
Good for him.
And Deo himself, Harry Belafonte, is 95.
He's still alive.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. He had a great voice.
I can't. I can't.
Thank you. Appreciate you not doing that.
Deo.
I thought we just said you weren't going to do that.
I like to, you know, keep the listeners riveted. Roger Daltrey, your boy.
Who?
Very good.
Thank you.
78.
Oh, that's not too bad.
A name you might not remember. Dirk Benedict. Ring a bell?
Dirk Benedict? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Nope. Did he invent Eggs Benedict?
No, not quite.
Oh.
Think 80s Black Van.
A-Team?
They're good.
I never watched it. I never saw that show.
Somehow, don't surprise me.
Yeah. It was probably on a Friday or Saturday night, and I was up at Toby's doing stupid stuff.
77 today.
Well, good for you.
Yesterday, I should say. Oh, here we go.
Oh, Kennedy's? You got Kennedy's?
Nope.
Oh.
Better. Catherine Bach is 68. Daisy Duke herself.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot of happy Friday nights, I'm going to say.
Okay. That sounds like something Rocker would say.
We're back. And just to think, we all watched it for the car.
I didn't watch it. It was on a Friday night. I was up
there
at
again,
Toby's back. Doing stupid stuff.
And OB Taylor, 68.
Oh, yep. Ron Howard.
Yes.
Yep.
He set the child star bar a little too high, I believe.
Yep.
And the rest of them just kind of fell through the hole.
Yeah, but he didn't suffer with substance abuse so much.
No,
as some of the rest.
He was raised pretty good. March 2nd's birthdays. Oh, wee. Mikhail Gorbachev turned 91 today.
Boy, I wish we had him back.
Yeah. He's a load of fun.
Well, it was more fun than the one we got now.
A little wind death on the head, but other than that, pretty good.
That spot doesn't come off.
No. Larry Carlton turns 74. He's a drummer for a rock. No, he's a guitarist for somebody I know. 74.
Beatles? Was he for the Beatles?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Lorraine Newman, one of the original cast to Saturday Night Live, 70.
Lorraine Newman, you
yeah.
said? I thought you said Ray. Lorraine Newman. Okay, yep, I remember her.
John Bon Jovi, 60.
He's only 60?
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
Yep. He's the cat's meow now because old Eddie Van Halen's hard as a carp.
When did he die?
Last year.
You don't remember which month?
No, I missed that one.
Wow. That's the only one you've ever never not known exactly.
I just knew when he died that meant Valerie Bertinelli is
happy
solo.
Oh, that means Rocker can move in
and crash land at the same time.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig, former Bond, turns 54.
He's only 54. He looks older than that.
Yeah. doing those stunts pretty well.
Yep.
Does the end pretty quick.
Except he had stuntmen, probably. Yes. I don't know that.
I should have had a stuntman for doing this job.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. So, is that all we have tonight?
I think that's it, folks.
Okay. Well,
and we get to start sports talk on time for once.
Well, yeah, it's five after. Yeah. So, yeah, right on time.
Seems about right.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks, Rucker. And want to thank the school board guys for coming in. And this will be in the archives in just about 20 minutes after sports talk ends. So we'll be back with sports talk right after this.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.